Hey, good evening, everybody. WrestleMania Backlash is in the books. It is May 8th, 2022. I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. This is your recap and review. Absolute fun WrestleMania Backlash. Look, you and I anticipated that this event was going to deliver. And with the exception of one match tonight, I think every match went over and above everybody's expectations, majority of people out there. And there's one very important element to credit that to. Big shout out to everybody who is live. Big shout out to everybody on a recap. Twix, we don't need any trolling in the chat room. Please stop. I have to adjust something. Give me 1 second. Let me just try to fix this. Look what I found today. Oh, my goodness. Anybody remember these from AEW? Yeah, I had to. Yes. Jerry Lawler, what do you have to say about this? The King. I can't believe WWE hasn't sold them yet. I mean, I remember I got these as a gift. I mean, I got about 10 of them, but some of them are kind of bent now because I never thought I was really good. But no joke, everybody, I was going to put it smack on my forehead. In fact, what we may end up doing just for some laughs, maybe on occasion, I'll put one here. I won't put one there. And even if I did, you wouldn't see it. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, Jerry Lawler made some comments, and sure, he's playing the heel, especially on the preview shows and Raw Talk, but I got the quote, and he said, you know, let's address the elephant, not in the room, but the elephant on the neck. He says, why doesn't Cody just go full Mike Tyson and get it on his face? He says that he comes out looking like a cheap car salesman. Now, of course, Jerry Lawler is just playing the heel, but still, nonetheless, I think we all agree. Most of us do care and love and appreciate Jerry Lawler's pro wrestling career. He tries too hard to be obnoxious these days, and it really falls flat. So I figured, you know what, after the King making those comments, I said, all right, let's throw one on tonight. How's everybody doing? How was your weekend? For everyone, as I said the last couple of days, for everyone who is a mom or your moms are still with us physically, happy Mother's Day. For everyone who is up above looking down, you know, my thoughts are with your moms as well. And remember, if you had a close relationship with your mom and she is no longer here physically, you carry on her legacy. You know, I miss my grandmother. She died in 1991. She is the reason why I'm here. No, not because she gave birth to my mom who gave birth to me. It's because she got me into pro wrestling as a kid, and I have never left pro wrestling since. So I keep her legacy alive. And every time, and I've said this before, a relative says to me, DT, that's your grandmother. That's your grandmother talking. Or that's your grandmother right there with some gesture and action. Feels good. And speaking of feeling good, what an awesome event tonight. You know, I'm not going to deny it. We have said it before. Ronda Rousey, since her return, has been a disappointment. She is, you know, very bland in the mic, you know, with her attitude, very matter of fact. You know, first she comes out constipated and then she smiles too much. And, you know, WrestleMania match was a disappointment. I mean, the feud has been a disappointment. But we have been saying ever since they announced this I Quit match that you go back to, so, and Michael Cole addressed it tonight. Michael Cole brought up that Survivor Series match. You go back to that Survivor Series match that they had. It is one of the most underappreciated women's matches in recent memory. Ronda Rousey took a beating that night. The Singapore cane shots to the face were brutal. And this is what WrestleMania wasn't. WrestleMania was just a regular in-ring match. And I don't think Ronda Rousey was ready. I still don't think Ronda Rousey is ready for a full-blown 15-minute women's match inside the ring. You know, it's not only telling a story, but it's not only doing offense, but counters, reversals, selling. There's a lot of things that Ronda Rousey still hasn't gotten it back yet. She will. She will. No question. But tonight with the I Quit, you brawl into the crowd, you use the Singapore cane, you do some crazy submission moves, a lot of fisticuffs, and you end up with an absolute banger. I mean, I tell you, tonight is very difficult to choose my favorite. Now, one thing I said, and look, this is not going to be a long recap. We only have six matches. We don't have to get into every little aspect of it. I'm giving you an overview. But one thing that you have to realize tonight, and I think everybody that knows this already will agree with what I'm about to say, the reason why this event was so good, not just because of the wrestlers in the ring, but something that we have been talking about, something that back in the 90s was a formula that really worked well, and we talked about it with the predictions, and that is the dark matches, the house show matches. You know, you saw the Bloodline versus RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre tonight. Even though we may not be thrilled necessarily with the outcome tonight, it seems like it put kind of a halt in the Drew McIntyre-Roman Reigns. You think the pin would have made a much bigger deal, you know, given a little momentum going into Hell in a Cell, you know, with Drew McIntyre. Look, you know, we're probably now going to end up having Drew pin Roman Reigns on a SmackDown episode down the line where it could have been done tonight. Roman would have been the champion. So look, the outcome, not all of us agree with, but you pay attention to the house shows. Drew and Roman have faced each other about 15 to 20 times when you factor in the tag matches. Back in the 90s, and as I said, we talked about it the other day, we would read house show results, and we would hear like Shawn Michaels versus Sid, Brett versus this person, this and that, and you would hear, you know, the review, and then a week later, someone else would see it in a different state, and the review would be similar. And then you would end up where people would say, yeah, they did the same shit as they did the night before somewhere else. But what's happening during those house shows is they're testing things out. They're seeing the reaction from the fans. They're seeing what clicks and what works the best. And they pick up on that and they build on that. Tonight, what you saw, especially with Cody and Seth Rollins, they have wrestled a few times on the house show circuit. They wrestled the dark match after SmackDown. They wrestled last night, I think, in Hartford, Connecticut. So what you're getting tonight is the result of a lot of trial and error, of a lot of tweaking, a lot of testing, checking things out, seeing what works, seeing what the crowd really get into. When Roman Reigns was tagged in and we thought him and Drew were going to start fighting 2 minutes into the match, and you hear Paul Heyman going, no, no, not yet. I love you. No, no. And then after, right before they're about to lock up, Roman's like, nah, out. Troll everyone. And Roman tags himself out. He's been doing that on these tag matches that they're doing on the house show circuit. Beautiful. Beautiful. So tonight is the result of when you work with someone over and over and over and over and over again, you see what everybody loves and you see that's how you create the magic. It's not easy to just bang it out with an opponent that you don't normally get to work. Sometimes it's beautiful, and sometimes it's like, eh, you know, we got some work to do. So, with that said, let's get into the recap. This is your post-show review, WrestleMania Backlash. We had a little bit of a storyline advancement in Judgment Day. Maybe not necessarily who we thought could possibly get involved tonight, but still really freaking cool nonetheless. Now, before we get into the matches, I'm hoping this Friday SmackDown, Madcap Moss changes the attire. Before the event started on the pre-show, he cut a promo and basically, you know, still laughing it up a little bit, but all jokes are over. I think we are finally going to start seeing a little bit of a character shift for Madcap Moss because, look, the crowd popped for the Sunset Flip abrupt win tonight. But if you look at everything, including the match, the fans are just not buying it. They're not into it. I mean, Madcap Moss, a lot of his antics, even though he's supposed to be a babyface right now, comes off as an annoying troll, you know? And yes, you want to troll Corbin in storyline, but the fans don't like it. And there's nothing about Moss that makes you want to really. So I hope they do a little bit of a character switch with Moss. The guy's got a lot of what WWE likes. So let's see what happens. Time for jokes are over. So opening match tonight, probably not the match that we expected to open. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. And let me just, like I said, give you a quick overview about this. One thing I will tell you, I pay attention to the internet wrestling community, IWC. I check social media while matches are going on, after matches, and try to see what the audience overall likes, dislikes, their immediate reaction. And I could tell you, and it was glaring. As soon as it ended, if you go back and you do, especially on Twitter, you do a time search, or, you know, I think you can only do it by day, but if you look at the reaction right after this match ended, all I kept seeing over, over, and over, and over, and over again is, give me Rollins versus Rhodes at Hell in a Cell. You know, I wouldn't mind another match between them. You know, even though Rollins lost twice, I would love to see them battle a third time. You know, when you're not even a minute removed from the match and you're already saying, give it to me again, give it to me again, you know that you got money big time. And although Seth Rollins loses for the second time in a row to Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins loses no momentum. You see how the match ended tonight. Seth Rollins goes for a fistful of tights. He does the fruit roll-up, grabs the tights to cheat. Cody reverses it, grabs a fistful of tights himself, outsmarts Seth Rollins. Cody Rhodes gets the win. Now you could see what's going to happen on Raw tomorrow. Seth Rollins is going to come out, and he's going to say that Cody Rhodes cheated to win. Now, as a heel, you know, of course, he doesn't think he did anything wrong, but he's going to accuse of Cody cheating to win. We'll probably get the replay, maybe more than once. So this way we feel, okay, Cody won for the second time, but there's an asterisk because it wasn't a clean pin. Cody cheated. Seth Rollins loses no relevance. He's not being jobbed out. Whether you are happy with Cody Rhodes now in WWE or if you're bitter because he left AEW, if you're angry because Cody seems invigorated in WWE, you know, even though he had some banger matches in AEW, if you just, no matter what you feel about this, there's no denying that the way Cody Rhodes has been used for the first month of being in WWE has been excellent, spectacular. And this is the most amazing part about it that I think nobody thinks about. Cody Rhodes has only been wrestling for a little over a month, 5 weeks. Go and do a search, including house shows and dark matches, and see how many times Cody Rhodes has already wrestled for WWE in a matter of 4 to 5 weeks. He's probably wrestled 7 times, 8 times. With all due respect, there are some wrestlers in AEW that don't wrestle 8 times in a year. So Cody Rhodes is being booked like a champion. His first championship should be heavyweight gold. He should not have a U.S. title, IC title, certainly not a 24/7 title or a tag title. The storyline is he wants to get the big one that his dad was unable to get. You know, we all got to remember, Dusty Rhodes was an NWA heavyweight champion. Yes, his runs were very, very short, but he was still NWA heavyweight champion. So it's not like Dusty Rhodes never had a heavyweight title, but the WWE championship, you know, that is something that Dusty couldn't get. Now, if you want to, you know, try to play semantics with this and you really want to, you know, pull hairs, Dusty was never in WWE for any long period of time where he could have legitimately been champion. When he came back with the polka dots and, you know, doing the gimmicks of flushing, cleaning toilets and delivering pizza, he was well past his prime, and he was more of just a feel-good wrestler for all of us. But when he wrestled in the WWF in 1977, feuding with superstar Billy Graham, when he did a couple of shows in Madison Square Garden or the Spectrum or anything else, he was a special attraction. He wasn't there for 6 months to a year. So Dusty Rhodes was never given the championship simply because he was never a full-time player at the time. So if you want to split hairs, you could say that. But still, you know, he was never heavyweight champion. So I love the way they're using Cody. I love the storyline. And I loved this match tonight. I mean, Rollins comes out serenaded as usual. Cody gets a tremendous pop. And did you see that fan around ringside with his son? Oh, my God. To me, if any of you have, like, a dog and you're out all day and the dog sees you through the window and you don't open the door right away, but he sees you through the window and the dog is like, Cody must have promised that fan earlier in the day that he was going to give his belt to the fan's son. Because when Cody came out, you got to see, it's pretty cool, though. When Cody came out, and Cody was standing right beside him, the fan is like, Cody, 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 Cody. And then Cody looked at him and gave the belt to him to give to his son. So nice moment. But, you know, look, you know, some people think that the Cody interaction with fans is just a little over the top. Nah, it's all genuine, man. And I'm not a big Cody fan, you know, but you have to call it like it is sometimes. So the match opens up, and it's a lot of gaga. It eventually goes outside the ring. Cody, the first big move, Cody runs around the ring trying to get to Seth. He's greeted by a clothesline. Seth brings it back in, only gets a two count. We're getting loud Cody chants in the process. Now, one dumb comment tonight. I don't think it was fed. A lot of people think WWE may have fed Jimmy Smith the remark. But, you know, Cody's been gone from the WWE for 6 years. So Jimmy Smith, early on in the match, when Seth Rollins had the upper hand, he talks about, since Cody was gone for 6 years, that he still has some ring rust. And Corey Graves immediately stopped it right there, and he's like, wait, Jimmy, just because Cody hasn't been in the WWE for 6 years doesn't mean he hasn't wrestled. I don't think WWE fed him that comment. I know, we think WWE likes to take shots at AEW once in a while. They've done that with TNA in the past. They act like, you know, like somebody just took a nap, like Rumpelstiltskin, is that who it is, for a bunch of years, and they didn't wrestle for TNA during that time. I think they did that with a Christian interview when he first came back many years ago. But, no, I think that was Jimmy Smith. Just, you know, because he's been gone, trying to make it seem like, oh, he's got a bad... I thought that was just really, really stupid. I mean, I let it go with Jimmy Smith. I don't think Jimmy Smith gives a shit about the AEW history. I don't think he was trying to troll anyone, but it was a really stupid comment. So we get a big chop exchange from Cody and Seth Rollins. Cody hits the Cody cutter off the middle rope for a two count. Seth Rollins attempts the pedigree. Cody, although saw it, blocked it, and was unfortunately greeted by an enziguri for a two count. Seth taunting the crowd, trying to get them to serenade again, and the crowd is booing the shit out of him. He tries to curb stomp Cody Rhodes, but Cody stops it. Cody attempts crossroads a few times. Seth blocks it. And we had a moment where Seth Rollins and Cody were trying to hit pedigrees, and they were stopped as well. So now they are really picking it up. And you could see the results of them getting more opportunities to work with each other. A lot of reversals. Seth Rollins with a beautiful Falcon Arrow for a two count, and the crowd is chanting, "This is awesome." You get a nice buckle bomb into the corner, frog splash. The only moment that was kind of goofy is if you go back and you watch it, Seth Rollins hit a superplex off the top rope for a two count. And literally 2 seconds later, he no-sold it because Cody went for the Falcon Arrow and was greeted by Crossroads. And the only reason why Cody didn't win at that time is because Seth Rollins was right by the ropes and his foot happened to be on the ropes. So that was the only part of the match that was kind of, you know, but that's obviously nitpicking. I mean, Cody didn't sell the move at all, superplex off the top rope. But ultimately, in the end, Seth Rollins is talking a lot of smack to Cody Rhodes. "You can't lace my boots." He's kicking him in the face. And then Seth doing the dusty punches. "No, I can't do them," you know. But he's punching Cody, and he does this, and he tries to hit the last one, but Cody stops it. That's when Seth Rollins went for a through roll-up, grabbed the tights, and it was for a two count. Cody reverses it, grabs a bunch of tights of his own, gets the win, and Seth Rollins looks shocked. He looks shocked. Cody gets the win, and now Cody is 2-0 off of Seth Rollins. Now, remember, we got Hell in a Cell, and right after this match was over, the internet wrestling community loud. They want more. They want more. And that is awesome. That is awesome because here, you know you're going to get top-shelf action. And I hope they do it at Hell in a Cell. I really do. I mean, that's got to be the end of it, though. And you feel like, you know, Seth has got to get a win somewhere. Do they dare have Cody beat him 3 times in a row? Maybe somebody interferes. And this, look, we've talked about the Kevin Owens factor. Kevin Owens could ultimately interject himself somewhere, and maybe he does get involved, and then this leads to Cody versus Kevin Owens. Because you've got to remember, Cody's going to get the WWE Championship. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. But it's not happening just yet. You can't have Rhodes and Rollins all the way to SummerSlam, all the way to Survivor Series. You know, we don't know exactly when Roman's going to be dropping those titles, but it's not happening tomorrow. So, you know, Cody's going to have some opponents between now and then. So, you know, we wait and see. But right now, banger. Banger of a match. What a way to start off WrestleMania Backlash. And yeah, only 6 matches. I love that the show was over before 11 o'clock. Very manageable. 2 hours and about 55 minutes. No pre-show matches. I think that's just for today, everybody. Don't read too much into it. You know, there's people reporting that WWE is no longer doing kickoff matches. Nah, don't buy into that. Just don't buy into that. All right, next. And look, this is pretty much what we expected it to be. Omos versus Bobby Lashley. Omos is still extremely young in his career. Extremely young in his career. You know, obviously Omos is very limited in what he does. When this match first started, I mean, Omos, basically he did similar what Satnam Singh is doing. Grab the head, you squeeze it. It does look painful, but that's what a lot of big men do. A lot of, Khali did it, a lot of, you grab the head. it looks like you're squashing it. It looks like you're taking a watermelon about to, squeeze it and burst it. You know, you got to do sometimes moves that do look like they hurt, that look like somebody gigantic in his size, but in actuality, you or I could do that very same thing also. And this match, obviously it had to follow Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, so it wasn't going to be that, big of a deal. But this match, I thought, was even better than what people expected. It was much better than the WrestleMania match. Early on in the match, Omos, a little too full of himself, taking his time, kicking Lashley, a couple of punches, taunting the crowd, a little overconfident. Omos eventually gets caught up in the ropes. You remember when Andre the Giant used to do that all the time? So Lashley, with a bunch of punches, gets Omos in the corner, does the same. MVP, while Omos had some offense, he's trash-talking Lashley. And at one point, when Lashley started to get some offense, MVP tried to attack Lashley. Cheap shot. Lashley saw him. Attempted to put the hurt lock on MVP, but Omos stops that. But what ends up happening is later on in the match, Bobby Lashley, he attempts a hurt lock on Omos, gets him in the corner, eventually has to break out of it, but MVP with a cheap shot. And Omos then grabs Bobby Lashley once again by the head, lifts him up, dumps him on the mat. 1, 2, 3. Omos beats Bobby Lashley. I think we all pretty much agreed that Omos was going to get a win over here. I think the only way Lashley would have gotten the win is by a disqualification. This is the high-profile win that, you got to get, to build your resume. Bobby Lashley loses nothing with this match. We wonder if it's going to ultimately end with Bobby Lashley and MVP having a match. I don't think anybody wants to see Omos versus Bobby Lashley Hell in a Cell. Hell no. So by the way, big shout out to everybody who is live once again. Everybody on the replay. I hope you had a great weekend and a great night tonight. So now we get AJ Styles versus Edge. Now, the big question was if Finn Balor was going to show up. And if Finn Balor shows up, does he turn on AJ Styles and join Judgment Day? Or do they save it and have ultimately a tag match of AJ and Finn Balor versus Edge and Damian Priest? That was the questions that everybody had. So now when we go into this match, and this match was an excellent match as well, they were playing off that AJ Styles was not 100%. Some people in the chat say this was their favorite match of the night. That's awesome. That's awesome, because this was an excellent match. AJ selling the shoulder, acting as if it's injured a little bit, and it would come into play a little bit later on. Both immediately start with a flurry of punches, which is what we have been saying is needed. There's got to be anger. You don't collar and elbow tie up. We've seen that awful beginning in big time blood feuds in too many matches in the past. They come out with a series of punches. AJ with the early advantage. They take it to the outside. Edge goes face first into the ring post, face first into the announcer's table. AJ with a drop kick through the middle rope, and then with a beautiful moonsault from the middle rope to the outside as well, an acai moonsault. Edge ultimately rolls back in. AJ attempts the phenomenal forearm, but Edge nails him in the shoulder. So now we get a bunch of offense by Edge. AJ selling the shoulder. Edge catapults AJ into the ring steps, smashes AJ's arm into ring steps. Slowly, as this is going on, AJ is trying to get back into the match. Edge exposes a turnbuckle with the ref distracted, trying to count out AJ Styles. That would come into play later on because Edge, it looked like he was going to attempt a spear. AJ got out of dodge, and Edge went face first into the exposed turnbuckle. We get a beautiful, beautiful Styles clash for a two count. AJ goes for the phenomenal forearm, but he's in too much pain. So instead, he climbs the top rope. As he climbs the top rope, we hear a whole bunch of boos. So we know Damian Priest is out there. And sure enough, Damian Priest is in the rampway. It's not at ringside, technically, but he's down the rampway. And the referee is obviously distracted as well. And here comes Finn Balor. So if everybody was in the predictions contest, Finn Balor was the only one, you know, that made the appearance. Finn Balor comes out, immediately attacks Damian Priest. So now Finn Balor and Damian Priest are brawling. And then on the opposite side of the ring, we see somebody under a mask wearing all black. And, you know, the commentators are like, who is that person? Who is he? Who is he? And I think they stressed the he a couple of times too many because people in the chat were immediately like, wait a minute, you know, that's Rhea Ripley. I mean, the height was there. You know, they were playing it off that it immediately that it was a man. So this person attacks AJ Styles without the referee looking. So what ends up happening is Edge with a forearm submission. I loved when Edge pushed back AJ Styles' hair so you could see AJ grimacing in pain and then getting choked out. And the referee calls for the bell. Edge is your winner. And then the person under the mask enters the ring. And once again, who is he? Who's he under the mask? And it's revealed to be Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is now with Judgment Day. As you could see, she dyed her hair black. That's a better picture. Look, it's obviously, we all, ooh, what did I do? I accidentally, like, turned it off. Hang on. Okay, that's better. That's better. That's better than nothing. So she aligns with Edge, Damian Priest. Damian Priest obviously wasn't in the picture because he was brawling with Finn Balor. Her hair is fully black right now, and excellent, excellent. Now, I will say this, you know, you have to stop with the number of members somewhere. And I still think Finn Balor joining this group would be spectacular. It adds new life in Finn Balor, a whole crop of opponents that he can now face that he's not facing at the moment. But when do you stop as far as adding members? Right now, Edge has Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley. So it's the three of them. Do you stop with Edge having one male and one female person? I don't know. I don't know. But I think for the time being, they may stick with this for a little while. So if Finn Balor were to join, I think that it may take a little bit longer. I don't think they'll do it right away. It'll be interesting to see if we get Edge and AJ Styles in Hell in a Cell. Now, look, obviously AJ Styles is not going to look for revenge on Rhea Ripley. We are not getting an intergender match over there. But Rhea Ripley, I think we now have an idea who Bianca Belair will be feuding with very, very soon. Sooner than later. I like it. I like it. It's something that everybody and their mother was anticipating. So now we got it. It's official. Rhea Ripley is aligned. And, you know, if you go on her social media, you will see a couple of days ago when she lost. If you remember when we did the Raw recap on Monday, I had pointed out that, hey, Rhea Ripley can't be happy. She just lost another tag match. She went on social media and she wrote, no more tag matches. No more tag matches. So something obviously was about to change. So now Rhea Ripley will be solely a single star. Hopefully WWE does not cave in with temptation and do a tag match with Rhea and Doudrop or somebody else teaming up. Leave Rhea alone. Let Rhea build this character that she has not had. You know, she's had a similar look, a similar style, but now she's in a very big storyline. So we give it some time. Yeah, Rhea Ripley is not as tall as you would think. I have a few friends who have met her personally, and I've seen the pictures, and I said, oh, yeah, Rhea Ripley's a little shorter than you think, but she's wearing these boots, you know, with, you know, heels that big. So, yeah, she's taller. I mean, you know, when anybody had seen my indie wrestling crap, you know, people always say to me, like, oh, my God, I can't believe how tall you are. Yeah, I'm almost 6'4". Imagine if I wear, you know, boots that have a little bit of deep, you know, thick padding on the bottom. I might come off as 6'6", 6'7", out there. So, good. Very, very happy with Rhea Ripley officially joining Judgment Day. Very good match. Unfortunately, we had the next to last match to be Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. I honestly was hoping this would be the next to last match of the night. I know some people were reporting that they were closing out WrestleMania Backlash. I never thought so. But again, I always thought that it would be the perfect moment for Drew McIntyre to get a pin on Roman Reigns. Think about it. You know, even think about Paul Heyman's promo today. I don't want to go too far ahead, but Paul Heyman, when they brought up Mother's Day before the show even happened, he said that they get a show, you know, that, you know, Riddle and Randy Orton's mothers are going to be embarrassed, you know, for them. And Sarah Schreiber asked Paul Heyman, you didn't mention Drew McIntyre. And it's not because his mom had passed, but he said he named his mother after he named his sword after his mother. And somebody sick, twisted, and disturbed like that, you know, get treated from Roman Reigns. But you would think Drew versus Roman is in the cards. Drew very well could end up champion before 2022 is over. And we're on Mother's Day. And they changed the unification match for the tag titles, and you threw Drew in there. So you would think, since Drew was brought into this, Drew pinning Roman, Roman's still the champion, but it ends Roman's streak of, what, 875 days of not being pinned? And you go off the end like, oh, okay, I see why they changed up the title unification, because Paul Heyman is worried about Roman with Drew. And this being a non-title match, but we didn't get that. Right now, I'm a little torn if this was my favorite match of the night. And again, let's not make any mistake about it. I've said it repeatedly that the feud has been extremely disappointing leading up to tonight. But if you have heard what I have said on the other shows and my predictions, I expected this match tonight to be off the charts. You take Ronda Rousey, and she doesn't have to chain wrestle, and she doesn't have to be confined in the ring. You know, you look, and this is not a knock on AEW. It's not a knock on AEW, I swear to you. But if you look at some of the women's matches in AEW that people remember that involve women that are not that great in the ring yet, most of those matches that everybody talks about, they're not regular wrestling matches. There's blood, there's weapons, there's tables, chairs, thumbtacks, brawling outside into the crowd. So, yeah, Jim Cornette calls that lazy booking. But no, it's not always lazy booking. The story is that these two women hate each other. Ronda Rousey, submission champion. You know, Charlotte Flair, figure eight, submission champion. Especially that they hate each other. I quit match. I'm going to break your arm. I'm going to put you in so much pain that you're going to have to give up. This was a brawl, an outright brawl. They went through the crowd. They used chairs, chairs, but not in the way you would think. Three or four times during this match, fans want the tables. Obviously, they're not going to go against the script, but no tables really were scheduled for this match. So every time the crowd loud. loud. We want tables. We want Nah, you didn't get it. I loved, yes, thank you, Austin. I loved the spot. They brawled into the crowd, and they're up the railing. And by the way, did you see somebody, I guess, attempted to throw a soda at probably Charlotte Flair? I don't think they connected, but, you know, I was getting a few DMs like, oh, you know, shit, somebody almost nailed her in the head with a soda. Maybe they did. I really didn't catch that. But you had handrails. You go down, you know, the aisles for the fans. They have handrails. And Charlotte Flair, beautiful visual, on the opposite side of the handrail, and she's pulling back on Ronda Rousey's head, and her neck is just, you know, flush against the handrail. That shit looked like it hurt. The match was excellent. You know, it wasn't lazy booking. This was a blood feud. The only thing that I was hoping for tonight, look, I predicted that Ronda Rousey would get it. Not that I'm a genius. I just could not picture Ronda Rousey say, I quit. I just couldn't. Unless, and I thought about this, but I was like, nah, I don't see WWE doing this. If they would have given us a swerve like they did with The Rock and Mankind, I was hoping to God we didn't get a pre-recorded sound clip of Ronda saying, because look, if you look at some of the promos she said on TV, she said on SmackDown, I'm going to make you say, I quit. Now you take that sound bite and you splice it, edit it, and you put it on a soundboard, and then Charlotte has a submission move on Ronda, and all of a sudden you hear on the loudspeakers, I quit. You know, they did that with Mick Foley and The Rock, and to this day, I hated it. I mean, the match made me feel uncomfortable anyway. But that's what I was fearing tonight, that if Ronda was going to submit, the only way I could have seen that is this awful shit. But thank God they didn't do that. Thank God they didn't do that. Early on in the match, we get some early brawling. Ronda Rousey gets hit with a German suplex, which, you know, they replayed it three times to make it seem like Ronda landed on her head, and it would have been perfect, but by the time they did the third replay, Ronda Rousey bounced right up like nothing was wrong. So it was a little cheesy early on if you saw that, but 2 minutes in, they brawl to the outside. Charlotte gets thrown into the ring post. Charlotte favoring her left shoulder. I wrote down early seed planted. You go back and you watch that match about 3 minutes in when Charlotte gets thrown into the ring post and she's immediately selling the shoulder. Seed planted. I was wondering, does that come into play later on? Yes, it did. Interesting moment. I don't know why there was only one kendo stick under the ring. Ronda, you know, there's a kendo stick. Charlotte Flair gets it. And then Ronda grabs it from Charlotte. So Ronda's about to get a little receipt from Survivor Series. And Charlotte runs to the back. And, you know, now I'm thinking, are we going to get a brawl in the back where the cameras are following them and this and that? But no, Charlotte goes to the back and she comes back with two Singapore canes. Why they didn't just have them underneath the ring, I don't know. But she nails Ronda a few times with the kendo sticks, but then Ronda grabs them. She wails Charlotte Flair about 20 times. They're going back to ringside, and the referee puts the microphone in Charlotte's face. Do you say I quit? And she's like, hell no. So Ronda hits her another 10 times with the kendo stick. Then a wild moment. Charlotte Flair grabs a camera from a cameraman and just chucks it. I would have loved to have seen the footage. I mean, if you saw in AEW, they did another camera shot. I think it was Santana and Chris Jericho. And Jericho had the camera and Santana whacked him. And you just see the video, the camera going down. I would have liked to have seen that footage. Charlotte picked it up and just flung it at Ronda Rousey. And Ronda's like, what are you, nuts? You know, she obviously didn't connect. You get hit with a camera like that, you're in trouble. So she grabs the camera. She chucks it at Ronda. And they start brawling into the crowd. This is where Charlotte, with the handrail, using it to her advantage, trying to choke out Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey will not quit. They ultimately brawl back to ringside, and we're getting, again, those loud, we want table chants. Charlotte dumps Ronda Rousey on the edge of the barricade that looked like that shit hurt. Her shoulders right on the edge of the barricade. And the referee's right there with the microphone and Charlotte taunting Ronda Rousey. This is my house. This is my title. This is my show. And Ronda's starting to get pissed. And if you look at that moment right after Charlotte was making all that smack, talking all that smack, if you look at Ronda, you understand why they do the makeup the way they do. Because even if Ronda's just like looking at something casually, it looks like she's mad. Her eyes look like... So when she started getting pissed, she looked like she was getting really pissed. And that's what they need with Ronda Rousey. They want, you gotta, Ronda Rousey's gotta act like somebody just kicked a dog. You know, you gotta flip out. So Ronda tries for a little offense. Charlotte rakes her eyes, throws her into the ring post. Now we start getting the important submission attempts. Ronda has Charlotte Flair upside down in the corner, and she's got an armbar on Charlotte, and the referee has the microphone in Charlotte's face, and she is screaming, grimacing in pain. Looked awesome, but Charlotte would not give up. Ultimately, we get a natural selection by Charlotte, and Ronda is grimacing in pain, and you got that awesome visual. So both of them trading, you know, just really big moments, grimacing in pain. Ronda won't quit, grabs a chair and whacks Charlotte Flair with it. And then we get the end. Charlotte Flair gets on the mic. Ronda, this is your last chance. She puts, or tries to put Ronda's leg, I'm assuming to do the figure eight or something, maybe an armbar, but she's in the middle of the ring with the chair, and she's about to put Ronda inside the chair for a submission move. And Charlotte says, Ronda, this is your last chance. Happy Mother's Day. And as soon as she does that, Ronda reverses it, puts an armbar on Charlotte Flair, trying to use the chair as the advantage. Charlotte is not tapping. The referee is, you know, saying, do you give up? And she's screaming. And Ronda, when Charlotte said, no, Ronda said, I thought you would say that. And she pulls back. And the visual of Charlotte's arm, you know, she is screaming and she gives up. You know, somebody pointed out to me yesterday that this is the 33-year anniversary yesterday when Terry Funk turned on Ric Flair, beat the crap out of him, pile drove him on the top of the table in the NWA, and that ultimately led to the I Quit match. So Charlotte Flair tonight, heel, you know, quitting. I'm not saying it gave me the Terry Funk, Ric Flair vibe, but pretty cool to be right around that anniversary. So Ronda Rousey is your champion. And when Friday night when I did predictions, I said I think Ronda Rousey will earn the respect from some people who have really, you know, been rough on her since she has been back. It's not easy when you don't have a regular professional wrestling background to get into it, do it for a little while, get injured, leave, have a kid, stay out of it, and then just come back in. And you don't get a chance to be in NXT or OVW or anywhere else. No, you're right smack, not only in the mix, but against the big names. So, you know, I try to give her a little slack, but I also criticize WWE in the process. But definitely the right time to give her the title. Let's see where this goes. Do I think the feud is over? I don't know. But WWE did do something today. They got to play off that it's a swerve. Because I know Hell in a Cell is about a month away. So, yeah, you could try to play off. I mean, sometimes fake injuries, people miraculously heal in 2-3 weeks. But later on in the night, Kayla Braxton announces that Charlotte Flair has a fractured... This looks better. Hold on. There we go. She's got a fractured radius. Now, I definitely needed to post a picture for anyone out there that didn't know what a fractured radius is. There you go. It is a bone between around the forearm. That would really be it, the forearm. So they're playing off that she has a fractured radius. Now, you know, obviously that is not true, but, you know, the big question is, how much time does Charlotte Flair take off because of this? What happens to Ronda Rousey at the moment? You know, we've been talking about Bayley ultimately making a return. I don't know if Bayley would be the right opponent for Ronda Rousey right off the bat. I think we all kind of agree with that. So we will see on SmackDown what they do. But as of right now, Ronda Rousey, she is your SmackDown Women's Champion banger of a match. Absolute banger. All right. Oh, wow. That just goes to show you, you know, because I really wanted Moss and Corbin to be the next to last match of the night. And it was. I had it out of place, obviously. Good. We don't even need to put the picture of them on the screen. Should we just do it out of respect? Yeah, we could do it out of respect. Let me pull up the picture. Where is it? Do we really even need to put the picture? Hold on. Let me see. Yeah, we can. Yeah, let's pull a picture up. Here you go. Here's your mas. Let's do it the right way. All right. Madcap Moss beats Baron Corbin with a sunset flip. Moving on to the main event. Look, there is absolutely no reason for us to spend any time on this. This match went longer than it should. Corbin did a majority of the offense. The crowd was not into it. You know, the crowd is not into Moss yet, and that's because of WWE. It's not on him. It's WWE not, you know, tweaking his character enough. But this match was Corbin with a majority of offense, and then Moss is shot on the ropes, ducks some clothesline from Moss and from Corbin, and Moss hits a sunset flip, gets the pin victory. Crowd popped for the abrupt victory, but the feud, please, you got to move on from it. It sucks. The whole feud has been awful. And the fans are not fully behind Moss as of yet. So this, yeah, I mean, everybody in the chat room is saying the same thing. So now we go to the main event. And we already talked about some of this opening up. RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre versus the Bloodline. Originally, this was supposed to be a unified tag team match. I still think about Roman Reigns and storyline. The Bloodline wants all the gold. And then literally 2 weeks before the event, Paul Heyman requests it turn into a six-man tag. You put Drew McIntyre into this. Now, obviously, you couldn't do any crazy stipulation because Drew McIntyre doesn't have any title. And you don't want to do something that if Drew loses, he doesn't get a title shot. That's not what they want to do. So you would think a lot of people online were already pissed off that the unification match was off. For whatever reason, WWE changed it. You know, unless WWE decides to tell us, or one of the participants or somebody, you know, directly in the know wants to reveal it, it's just all speculation online. Some people say, oh, WWE never intended on having that match. Some people are now saying the network change the match. Some people are saying that it was because they wanted to push Drew. They felt it was not needed. Nobody knows the actual answer. We can react to the speculation, but still, you put Drew into this. You would think Drew has to be a very important factor in this match. So now, again, you look at the house shows, you look at the dark matches, you look at some of the tag matches they've had. Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre have been practicing, and tweaking their matches. So when it does become a very important premium live event slash pay-per-view match, it's going to be an absolute banger. They're not going to fall flat. They have worked each other so many. I don't think some people realize how many matches Roman and Drew have had in the last 2 months. So you think, okay, you put Drew into this. There's got to be focus on Drew. There's got to be a storyline advancement in this. Just because Drew gets a little offense on Roman, that's not enough. Roman could be in a tag match against Alpha Academy. And at some point, you know, the team is going to get a little offense on Roman. That doesn't make it stand out. You figure you got to have that moment where everybody's like, holy shit, Drew has to do something. Not pin Jimmy, not pin Jay. You feel the only outcome is Drew has got to pin Roman. This is just opinion. You know, we all have opinions, you know, and whether you agree or not, I totally respect it. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, you took away the unification match. We don't know exactly the reason why. You put Drew into the mix. You would think that, okay, Drew has got to obviously, you know, come out on top in some way. Even if Drew would have put Roman through the table and Roman was incapacitated or something happened with Drew and Roman, they put each other out, knock each other out. And you lead into that, and Paul Heyman's like, he's a dangerous man. Don't, after tonight, he's dangerous. He's crazy. You can't, no, I love you. But we didn't get that. What we got, and listen, the main event was awesome. The crowd chanted, this is awesome, numerous times tonight. This was an absolute banger. No one that watched this match, I think, could criticize. You know, maybe you criticize the outcome. Maybe you criticize changing the original match type. But as far as the work that was done, when you saw that flurry where Riddle dives into everybody and Jay dives into everybody and Riddle does this and, you know, Jay goes for the top rope and Riddle runs up their superplex and this person comes out of nowhere. That's what happens when you have match after match after match. Tonight was the culmination of that. If you ask my honest gut feeling, I'm not claiming to be right. You know, we talked about possible reasons why they changed the title unification match. One scenario that I never said, and this is how I actually feel right now, could be it. I think WWE started to really take notice on how awesome the crowd was reacting to the six-man tags. You see all the cell phone footage online of Roman interacting with fans. When Roman trolled Drew McIntyre early in the match, we thought they were going to brawl right at the beginning, and right before they locked up, Roman's like, and he tags himself out. That's been done over and over, and the crowd feeds into that. I think because the reaction to all of these matches have been so over the top by the live crowds, I think WWE felt like, let's give them this. You know, you will. I'm not saying it's going to be Cornette or Bubba Ray or LaGreca or anybody else, but I think for a lot of shows out there, older guys, this is not a shot on young podcasters, but older veterans, especially people in wrestling, I think they're going to tell you that the six-man tag main event tonight was very, very old school. You would have events in the Garden, the Spectrum, little gyms, where you would have a six-man tag to close out the show. I remember clear as day, you know, going as a kid to shows, and it would be Andre the Giant, Jimmy Snuka, and Rocky Johnson versus the Wild Samoans and Magnificent Morocco, you know, and that would close out and everybody would go home happy. And you had some people with titles and it didn't matter. It was an awesome, fun match. Unfortunately, though, there's one part of the formula that you see over and over and over and over. and I think you'll all agree with me on this, no matter how great Riddle is during the match, no matter how much offense he gets, hot tags, it seems like Riddle is always getting pinned. You think about the flurry of matches of Alpha Academy versus RK-Bro. You think about RK-Bro, and even with the Street Profits, RK-Bro interacted with the Usos. You go and you think of other. Riddle always gets pinned. I loved the quote tonight by Pat McAfee that there's not enough CBD in Rhode Island to take care of Riddle's pain. That was funny because of CBD. CBD is part of the marijuana plant that people will take, like gummies and stuff that's supposed to ease pain, but it's not the part of the plant that gets you high. You know, you could get CBD in pharmacies, but that's not the part of the plant that gets you stoned. So it's legal to get CBD. But look, a lot of people in the chat are saying, you know, that, yeah, Riddle always gets pinned. Someone says it's Riddle's role. Absolutely. But it's glaring. And it always happens. And for storyline progression, you know, I didn't like, you know, the very end. It's not because Drew didn't get the pin. That's going to happen down the line. Drew will pin Roman in a tag match. So there's no titles on the line. It's not going to be one-on-one. There could be some faux pas. There could be outside circumstances. But in the end, Drew will ultimately pin Roman and end that streak of Roman not being pinned. Right now, I think it's 875 days. You know, but it's going to lead to a title match. You know, look, if you look at the WWE formula, you go to Raw, you go to SmackDown, it happens more in Raw and SmackDown than NXT. What always happens? A champion gets pinned in a championship contenders match. Oh, we want to have this team take on RK-Bro or this team take on the Usos. And what ends up happening is on Raw or SmackDown, the tag team champions will be pinned. And that sets up the title match. Alpha Academy has done it. The Street Profits have done it. You name pretty much any tag team out there, they have won a non-title match, which is why, so now they get a title opportunity. So it happens all the time. But we didn't get that advancement today. So early on in the match, Roman and Drew are about to lock up. Roman trolls everyone and tags himself back out. So Riddle is in there early, and the Usos are taking it slow with Riddle. Jey Uso starts doing his Us-oh chant with the crowd. You know, and he is ultimately greeted by a Riddle knee. And then what ends up happening is Roman Reigns thinks that Riddle is too incapacitated to make a hot tag. So Jey Uso and Riddle are in the ring, and Jey Uso goes and tags Roman. Roman wants in, but Roman expects to fight Riddle. But Roman miscalculated it, and when Roman got tagged in, then Riddle made the hot tag to Drew McIntyre. So now we get Drew and Roman. They have some back and forth. Ultimately, a Superman punch to Drew. He rolls outside. They start brawling outside. Later on in the match, Drew hits the Claymore to Roman Reigns, but Randy Orton is the most over guy out of them all. At the beginning of the match, everybody was chanting for Randy Orton to start the match. He did. During the match, loud Randy chants. Randy Orton is the person they want to see more than anything. I think if it was up to the fans, they would want Randy Orton to beat Roman Reigns for the championship. I really believe that. And look, before we go off the air, I will address that one comment that's floating around that Roman Reigns said at the house show last night in Hartford, I believe it was. And yeah, we'll piggyback on that Monday for our Raw recap. And by the way, as I've been telling everyone the last couple of weeks, you know, there's going to be a little tweaking with the shows, the names, the look and everything, because obviously Mondays are now solo. So, you know, I'll make that announcement tomorrow, but it's cool. It's cool. No controversy with that. So, so Drew hits a Claymore to Roman Reigns, and ultimately Randy Orton is tagged in. He hits an RKO to Roman Reigns, hits an RKO to Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, but Jimmy is about to be pinned. Jey breaks up the two count. Drew McIntyre tries another Claymore, but he's hit with a super kick by Jey Uso. Then they're trading kicks, and the crowd is loving it. You got this is awesome chance once again. Riddle gets the hot tag, and you got Riddle and Jey Uso doing their thing. I mean, you look at all the results. People go out of the way to say that Riddle and Jey Uso especially really have some chemistry out there. And it showed tonight. We get a pop-up neck breaker by Jimmy Uso on Riddle, but only for a two count. Randy Orton and Jimmy Uso are brawling outside the ring. Roman Reigns hits a Superman punch on Randy Orton out of nowhere. Drew McIntyre then throws Roman Reigns into the steps, clears out the announcer's table, and I think it was Corey Graves. He's like, oh, we lost our... No, it was Pat McAfee. He's like, we lost our pencils, you know, like the, as if the pencils matter. So Drew clears the announcer's table. He's about to put Roman through the table, but Jimmy Uso stops it. Drew ends up going to the table. Now I'm getting a little concerned because you know the match is coming to an end. Drew McIntyre gets put through the table, and I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, I want Drew to factor in the decision so the storyline advances. But he gets put through a table. So to distract that, Riddle dives outside onto everyone. Jey Uso goes outside and dives onto everyone. They both get back in the ring. We get more This Is Awesome chance. But then the finish. Jey Uso goes for a splash. Riddle meets him at the top rope, hits an RKO off the top rope. And here I'm thinking, Riddle's going to pin Jey Uso? But out of nowhere, here comes Roman Reigns. And he hits the spear onto Riddle. One, two, three. The Bloodline defeats Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro. And we go off the air. Make no mistake about it. A phenomenal match. Fun match. No titles on the line. No crazy stipulations. If you ever went to a house show, whether it's AEW, WWE, your local indie promotion, anywhere, and you got a six-man tag like this, even if you didn't have the table spots outside the ring and some of the antics, you'd go home beyond happy. This was an entertaining, excellent match. But it just feels like no storylines advanced because of it. It doesn't feel like anything advanced from it. And as we said Friday with the predictions, the Bloodline wanted all the gold. RK-Bro wanted the Usos tag titles. Do you revisit that now? Even if Roman moves on to Drew, why aren't the tag teams on each side still, like, why would you suddenly not want the others' tag titles anymore? So that's going to be an issue that has to be addressed somewhere. And I hope it's just not a dumb Adam, nothing against Adam Pearce. I like Adam Pearce, but not a dumb thing where Adam Pearce comes out and announces some match or this and that. And the only reason why we're not getting a unification is because WWE officials made a different match. I don't like that. It's a storyline that there was a big shift. And that, look at Shinsuke Nakamura. Look at Friday on SmackDown. You know, there was no explanation as to why they shifted away from Shinsuke. Obviously, we know why, because WWE feels that Drew and Roman are money. Shinsuke will fight Roman Reigns, and he will lose. But when they did that on Friday, and Shinsuke's like, one day, we will meet. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, now I feel better. Now it makes all sense now. It's kind of goofy, you know. And if they're putting Sami Zayn in there to try to, like, take the focus off of it, okay, fine. But I would have hoped out of tonight, they would have at least advanced something in Roman Reigns. Now, before I give you favorite match, least favorite match, scale to 1 to 10 and all this, the big talk coming out of yesterday, And you know me. I'm not clickbait. I don't over-dramatize things. I am very blunt and direct with you. And I give you my honest thoughts. And because a lot of people don't want to hear truths, they just want reason, you know, to yell and scream. Look at the stuff that happened yesterday with the Tammy stuff. You also went down. I didn't even talk about what has transpired today, which I'll mention tomorrow on the shows. I'll give you a little teaser. The threats that I received privately, and I don't mean threats that I'm going to be sued for slander. I'm talking some legitimate, serious threats. It's interesting. It's interesting. But when everything went down yesterday, you know, everybody was like, wow, that's fucked up. I can't believe how Tammy's going after you. She should be worried about jail and this and that. And she's going after me. You know, it was a big thing yesterday. And I told everybody, I said, no, that's not her. That's her boyfriend. It's a boyfriend using her account. And 99% of everybody out there ignored that fact. Now, I'm cool. You know, look, you do whatever you want with it. You want to go after her? Go right ahead. But I told everybody, and it's not sticking up for, I'm telling everybody, this is this guy doing it. And I explained why. People didn't want to hear that. They're like, no, don't say that. Let me think it's her so I can go after her. So this Roman Reigns stuff, from yesterday, him cutting this promo, don't read too much into it. It's a big deal. I'm not saying that it's not. And I will repeat part of this tomorrow, but here's the quote. Oh, that's a little too small. That's not. Here's the quote that everybody's talking about. Roman Reigns yesterday at the house show in Hartford, after the match was over, got on the microphone and said to the fans, I've been here many times. You know what I'm saying? I've been here a couple of times in the past 10 years, and I'm starting to work into a new phase in my career, and I honestly don't know if I'll be back here again. If that's the case, I just want to thank you for all of these years of support. That is a beautiful thing to say. And that is something that Roman Reigns knows damn well the internet will take it and blow that shit up. Michael Cole, during WrestleMania Backlash tonight, pointed out that Roman Reigns is the most searched athlete on social media. That's not just pro wrestling. That's anybody. You think about the first 4 or 5 years that Roman Reigns was on our TV, and we could not stand the force feeding. I'll never forget when The Rock was holding his hand up in the middle of the ring, and The Rock had this look on his face like, what the fuck's everybody like upset for? And Roman had that goofy look on his face like, yeah, yeah. It's amazing how it's changed for Roman. I love it. As a wrestling fan, I love it. I actually take pride that professional wrestling, the fake sport that everybody makes fun of us, that fake shit, that somebody in pro wrestling, whether it's WWE, AEW, or anywhere else, is the most searched athlete, period. When the most searched athlete says something like that, everybody is going to turn it into a big deal. Now, is it a big deal? Of course. The big question is, what does this actually mean? Now, people with legit connections within WWE are saying, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, WWE's, they're not going to have Roman do as many house shows as before. It's not he's retiring, he's going to Hollywood yet, this and that. Now, I will talk about it tomorrow. I have to go pull the quotes. But Roman Reigns was on the Michael Kay show in November. Roman Reigns talked about Hollywood. Nick Khan did an interview and said, ultimately, in so many words, Roman Reigns will end up in Hollywood. And wrestling will be the catalyst to transition him. So this is going to happen. This is stuff that's already out there. But a lot of people within WWE are like, oh, hold your horses, everybody. That's not like he's retiring, he's leaving, this and that. It's, I think it's too much, reading too much into it. Look, some people think that it might be the beginning of the storyline with The Rock. Could very well be. But one thing you can't deny, if you pay attention to Roman Reigns doing a lot of house shows, the last couple of months especially, Roman Reigns has gone out of his way to thank fans. And Roman Reigns, there is that really genuine, sincere, really awesome connection that he's having with the fans. You see footage, some kid yesterday, his father was recording it. The kid was sitting like front row at Hartford. And throughout the entire match, Roman Reigns was messing with this kid. You know, the kid was yelling at Roman Reigns. Roman's like, ah, I'll smack you. And then when Roman Reigns had the upper hand, I think, against Drew, he's like, hey, you see this? You know, he's really into it. So, you know, I love the respect that he's given back to the fans. But right now, I'm not going to clickbait it as this major, major thing, because we really don't know what's in the future. Some people are saying, oh, Roman Reigns' contract expires in April, and they're already superimposing his likeness on AEW is, you know, elite matters. Yeah, I think people are using it just as a reason. And look, it is a conversation piece. There's no question. But for me, and I know it's boring and I know it's not sexy, but me, I say to you, you know, just take it at face value right now. Because everybody within WWE is saying, no, 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 no. Don't think, you know, he's going to leave. Because some people are already jumping the gun. Oh, if Roman Reigns leaves, WWE's fucked. What are you going to do? Put Austin Theory in the main event? Oh, my God, if Roman Reigns, oh, my God. You know, I mean, let's kind of like reel it in a little bit. So right now, nothing is changing. So. And we have WrestleMania 39 still to do. So a lot is going to go down. But look, if Roman is going to be cutting back on house shows and doesn't get the opportunity to go to Hartford, you know, and look, he said it in his promo. He's only been there a couple of times in 10 years. How many is a couple? Three? I don't know. I would have to research and check it. But if you're talking three or four in 10 years and now they're going to pull back on the house shows a little bit, you know, I mean, it could simply be, look, you know, I appreciate everybody's support. You know, I think people might be reading into it a little bit too much. So, all right. So with that said, that is your recap. We are at an hour and 20 minutes, and I wanted to keep this under 90 because the pay-per-view was not that long, and there's really no reason to have a two-hour recap. I mean, we had six matches. Five of the six were pretty damn good. Four of them were awesome. You know, Lashley and Omos did a lot better than what I expected. On a scale of 1 to 10, based on getting six matches, based on the main event being a banger, Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey being a banger, AJ Styles and Edge, excellent, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins being absolute, they did better than their WrestleMania match. I give this event 9 out of 10. And I'm basing it on six matches, watching it for 3 hours on a Sunday night. Based on what was presented to us, I give it a 9 out of 10. If you walk into a pizzeria and you have one slice of pizza and you think it's the greatest pizza you ever had, if you're a food critic, you're not going to rate the pizza 5 out of 10 because all you had was one slice. You're rating it based on what was given to you. So they gave us six matches, all advertised, all given as they were advertised. I give it a 9 out of 10. My favorite match of the night, I got to go with the main event, slightly over Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. Because the main event, you know, even though the outcome was a little disappointing, the main event, if that was any house show for any Fed, I would have gone home extremely happy. It's really, really difficult. Cody versus Seth Rollins, man, that was freaking awesome also. I mean, it is hard. I mean, it's really, really difficult, you know, to really pick an absolute favorite. I would say the main event, but Cody and Seth, very, very close two, and Ronda and Charlotte, very close three, but, you know, by very, very little. So, all right, I am out of here. In the comment section, post what you thought about tonight's event. If you have any questions for me coming out of tonight's event, post it in the comment section. I will be more than happy to answer them. Tomorrow night at 11.05 p.m., I will be right back here with the D'Antoni Show, recapping Raw, getting into any news that transpires and any fallout from tonight's event. And I'm sure we will have a couple other things to get into too. So everyone, have a great night. All the best. Hope you had a great weekend. And I thank you as always for the support. Much love. And on the way out, if you enjoyed the show, as always, give it a thumbs up. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. I saw that we just hit 29,000. You know, that is awesome. I know some people are like, oh, he's got 29,000, but only a couple of thousand people show. Yeah, because 90% of my viewers, of my audience, access audio only. Not everybody needs to see my very unsexy face with this tattoo, you know, on the show. Some people like to sit back, relax, close their eyes and just listen what I'm talking about. So if there's a specific reason why somebody wants to check out the video portion, I'm sure some people are going to check it out just to see what did this goof do with the Cody tattoo. Yes, I have a Cody tattoo on my neck right now. I'm going to wash it off right after we're done. So hopefully tomorrow it doesn't look like I had a hickey over there. But I tell you, not too bad. I mean, I expected like only part of it to come out. Yeah, it actually worked pretty good. Got to give credit to AEW when they had these on sale. They actually were pretty good. I could only imagine what some people are trying to sell them for on eBay. So, all right, be well, everybody. All the best, and I hope to see you Monday night right after Raw. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like D'Antoni. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.